This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
If you're a tennis fan, you'll love Betting Weekly Game Bet Match on the Bet Rivers Network. Whether you're a bettor or just love tennis, you'll enjoy the in-depth analysis each week of the tennis calendar. Subscribe to Game Bet Match today from your favorite podcast provider. You're listening to the Danny Mac Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.
Welcome back to the Danny Mac Podcast on the Bet Rivers Podcast Network. Glad you've chosen today to spend some time with me because I don't get to say this very often. Have the company of a freshly minted Super Bowl champion today. Chief Special Teams Coach Dave Tobe has given us some of his time today. And Dave, I want to go with you when you buy lottery tickets the next time. You win another Super Bowl. Devin Hester, your former pupil in Chicago, is going to the Hall. So far, 24 has been very kind to you.
It's unbelievable. It's been a great, I want to say now 3 weeks now. You know, it's just been amazing, you know, what's going down with Devin. I was so proud of him when I came down. We were already down at the Super Bowl when that happened. And man, just so excited for that. And then we end up winning the Super Bowl, too. You couldn't ask for a better 2 weeks.
You know, watching the Super Bowl over the years, I'm kind of a Super Bowl dork. I remember almost everything, all of the records. And we had back-to-back kickoff returns for touchdowns in Super Bowl 35, Ron Dixon of the Giants and Jermaine Lewis. And even though this past Super Bowl 58, it was separated by halftime, we had two record-setting field goals. Right. You had Jake Moody go 55 yards, breaking Steve Christie's record. And then your guy, Harrison Butker, in the third quarter breaks that with a 57-yarder. What is going on with how quality the place kicking is in today's NFL?
There's no question about that, Danny. I mean, the kickers are getting so strong. I mean, it's just amazing, you know, that they can make them from anywhere. Like in the pregame, both guys, I mean, their guy, he hit like a 68-yarder, I think, and then Butker hit a 70-yarder in the pregame in that stadium. So we knew, you know, there was a possibility of that, but you always got to worry about that field position. You know, if you do miss it, you're giving up a lot of field position. I'm not going to lie, that thought came across my mind when we tried that 57, but I have a lot of confidence in Butker, and you know, and then he nailed that thing for us, which was critical in that game.
Yeah, and that's a gutsy call. I suppose it's the obvious call, but I mean, you're struggling to put points on the board in the Super Bowl. That's uncharted water for the Chiefs, even though you're not always the most explosive team. He doesn't get that thing. You're still trailing by a touchdown, and it's late third quarter. Where was your level of confidence when you trotted him out there?
Well, you know, you set a number, Danny, like before the game. You know where his range is, and he was inside the range. You know, he was a couple yards inside the range. But still, during that game, you still got to make that call. And he didn't flinch. I told him what the number was prior, and he didn't flinch, so he didn't look at me and say, "Do you really want to try it?" You know, if he did, I might have changed my mind. I don't know, but we were confident with it, and Butker went out there and he nailed it, and it was huge for us at that point, no question.
Young football players, especially rookies, who are clinging to a roster spot, special teams are so important to them. That poor kid whose name escapes me, the fifth rounder out of South Alabama for Kyle Shanahan, when the ball bounced off his foot, he is gonna toss and turn for the entire offseason, I would guess. Man, what a terrible way for things to go down for him in the biggest game of his life.
It really was. It was a bad break because the kid was – all he was doing was working hard. He was trying to block our gunner, you know, and he was working trying to block to the echo of the whistle. And the ball just – it was a bad break for them, to be honest with you. It wasn't a great punt. It was probably Tommy's worst punt of the day because he had a great day. But the punt was a shorter punt than what he was given, and the returner was deep. So the punt was short. The returner was calling Peter. The corner didn't hear it. The ball hit his leg, so then the returner tried to scoop it up. He probably should have fell on it. You know, hindsight, but he tried to pick it up, tried to make something happen, couldn't get a hold of it. It ended up being a huge play for us. You know, and that's the breaks of special teams. It's guys playing hard, finishing playing to the whistle, and you hope that your guys can come out on top in those kind of plays.
the big guys always are encouraged to just fall on the football, but so-called skilled position players are given that freedom to try and scoop. What do you instruct your guys to do in a situation like that? Does it depend on the bounce? You give them the freedom to make that decision on the fly?
If if the coverage is not down there and it's a bad punt and you get the perfect bounce, obviously you want to try to return it. In a situation like that, you want your guys to fall on it. But I've seen Devin Hester. I've seen him pick up a ball in a crowd like that and take it back for a touchdown. So it's risk-reward. It matters who your player is back there and also the situation of the game. I don't think he was thinking about that. I think he just was doing what he does all year. The kid made a lot of plays during the season. He had a bad one on that one.
When it comes to the game with Roman numerals, 58 of them now have been played without a punt return for a touchdown. How much do you play that record to your guys during the course of prep week?
Well, 2 years ago when we were playing the Eagles, I really felt like we had a shot. I really, we had Kadarius Toney back then. I felt like we had a shot to get a return for at least a big return, not necessarily a touchdown, but I knew we could get a big return. And we were 4 yards short from breaking that record. That would have been something to be able to have Devin Hester, back in Super Bowl 41. And then this one, we were 4 yards short. He didn't get in the end zone, but it ended up being the longest punt return in Super Bowl history. That's something that I always, every time we get to the Super Bowl, I always tell our guys, it's something that's out there. It's a hanging fruit. Let's go get it.
How do you reflect now on the tragedy at the championship rally and tell us a little bit about your perspective when everything went down?
Yeah, it was such a great day, all the way up to that point. We were actually done. I mean, we were done with the parade ceremony and the stage ceremony. We were walking off the back of the stage when it happened. So we really didn't see anything. We were coming off the stage and all of a sudden, the golf carts with the police started driving. What's going on? And then rumors were that there was an active shooter. And then about, I don't even want to say, maybe 30 seconds later, panic set in. I mean, it was a scary situation. My whole family was out in front. They didn't necessarily see it either, but they were part of the panic. They were shooing the people inside, and some people were saying, don't come inside, go outside. Nobody really knew what was going on, where the shooter was. So, it was scary. I'm not going to lie. It was scary, and until I saw every one of my family members, we got on the buses. They shoot us to the buses real quick. As soon as that happened, I was relieved a little bit, but at the same time, embarrassed. Embarrassed for Kansas City that happened. A little bit of ashamed, and sad. It was a sad situation. We saw people on gurneys and right in front of our buses getting taken out. I mean, it was a scary deal, and it's unfortunate, that somebody had to lose their life, during that situation. What happened? I think going forward, I think people are going to look at this, the parade situation, and is it. Can we do the parades? I mean, I'm sure that's going to come up. Every year it's going to come up now. It's going to be a deal. So it's a shame that happened.
It's sad, but I'm kind of surprised we haven't seen more of it. And I want to address something you said about you were embarrassed for Kansas City. A friend of mine felt similarly when, the George Floyd murder in Minneapolis. Right. And he said he was embarrassed for his town. It'll never be the same. And I told him, push back for a second. It's not about Minneapolis, just as that incident was not about Kansas City. It's people. We have a people problem in America, and this is not the toy department, which is what football is supposed to be. But that doesn't reflect on Kansas City, just as anything that happens in any given city. It's just people, man. People are un-effing comprehensible.
Well, I appreciate that. I was just my initial feel was, man, this sucks. I think so. Whole country had to see that, because we had so many great events. We had the draft there. We had the two other parades that were awesome, and then this had to kind of put a black eye on everything. That's all everybody's going to talk about. That's the unfortunate thing. It's a shame. Hopefully it never happens again going forward.
On a lighter note, did you get some of Taylor's Pop-Tart that she made special for the Chiefs this year?
I had no idea about the Pop-Tarts until Andy brought it up. I really didn't. I didn't even know they existed. I didn't know that she made it for the O-line. I had no idea about it. until I heard about it. So, but no, I do not. I haven't. You know, I wouldn't mind, though. I mean, it was a cool year having her around. I'm not going to lie. It was fun. It was a lot of fun, and Kelsey handled it so good. I think that's what made it better. You know, you wonder, is it a distraction? But Kelsey didn't make it a distraction. You know,
I've had friends ask me about that. You know, they say to me, you know how these guys are. You've been around them a long time. Do you suppose? I said, over the course of 6 or 7 months, you need diversions. I would have to think that was a tremendous escape for your guys.
We had a lot of diversions this season. we were up and down. We won a game, we lost a game, won a game, lost a game, until the end of the year. We really got it together and put two games together. And then, you know, we went on our streak right there at the end. We got hot late, you know, and with Pat Mahomes and the way the defense was playing, you know, it helped us. But, yeah, we had a lot of diversions. We had a lot of those during the year. And, you know, that was a positive for sure.
Dave, you were on the Bears staff when Devin Hester was chosen out of the University of Miami. How quickly did you realize how special he was as a return man?
Well, as a special teams coach, you grade every player that you're looking at. And obviously, I had a very high grade on him, you know, as a returner, punt returner, kick returner. He was like off the charts, dynamic player. You know, to me, no brainer. You take him, you know. But the thing that deserves a lot of credit is the amount of credibility, or not credibility, but what they thought of Devin. I'm talking about Jerry Angelo, Bobby DePaul, you know, the guys in the front office, and then Lovie Smith to put the stamp on this guy, to be able to take him in the second round, because he didn't have a position. He didn't play off, you know, he played a little bit of offense, and then he played defense. Miami couldn't find a position for this guy. And to take a guy like that, that's a great returner, no question. He was going to be your returner. But to take a guy like that in the second round, it was kind of nobody did that. And when we took him, we got a lot of pushback. If you remember, we got a lot of pushback from the other teams. Like, I can't believe they took him. That's way too early for Devin Hester, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But it didn't take too long. A couple games after the first game, they were saying, wow, now we see why they took this guy in the second round. You know, after we scored in the first game of the year against Green Bay. I mean, his rookie season was unbelievable, you know, to say the least. And we can talk about it if you want, but I tell you, it was crazy. So it didn't take long for people to realize. Then all of a sudden, everybody, oh, yeah, I was on him. I thought we should have took him in the first round. Everything changed. The whole narrative changed, you know, as the season went on. But, you know, people are going to play it both ways. That's the way the draft is. But those guys deserve a lot of credit for pulling the trigger, you know, really on a player like that. And you know, definitely we hit the gold rush on him.
06 clearly was a magical season. He was a huge part of it. And I don't know which of his returns dropped my jaw more, whether it was the opening kickoff in Super Bowl 41 or the return of the missed field goal for 108 yards that tied Nathan Vasher's record.
That's right. That's right. To me, it was the Super Bowl. I mean, clearly, because it's such a big game. And just coming up into that game, the way the media was just killing me. Do you think you're going to get the ball? You think you're going to kick it to Devin? Because that was the narrative all year, right? Our team's going to kick off. And then the Super Bowl wasn't any different, you know. And I know they were asking Tony Dungy all week, you're going to return it? You're going to return it? And I think he said no a lot of times. But then that Saturday night, he told his players, hey, you want us to kick to Devin? You want to? You know, and they all said, yeah, we'll get him, coach. So you know that the players and him, they decided they were going to kick to him. And I told our guys Saturday night too, I said, hey, when all those lights are going off in the Super Bowl and all the cameras are going, they're going to kick right to you. They're going to kick the ball to you and make you return it. Nobody wants to kick a squib kick. Nobody wants to try to kick a touchback. It was a lot harder back then. We're kicking from the 30 trying to kick a touchback. It wasn't as meant, you know, it was hard to do. So if you wanted to kick it away from a guy, it was a blue kick, squib kick, you know, and sometimes he got the ball anyway. But anyway, they kicked it to him. So, I mean, the rest is history, but that was my favorite. Out of all his returns, that's the one that gave me goosebumps. Even now when I'm talking about it, it still does.
And the Colts get the ball, drive down the field. Chris Harris intercepts Peyton Manning, and all is going well.
Very well.
Yeah. But at least you got to move on and taste what it's like to have a confetti shower three times with the Chiefs. A little bit more on Hester. I love Jerry Angelo. I thought the people who chased him out of town or were celebrating when he finally parted ways with the Bears, be careful what you wish for. However, nobody is perfect.
Right.
Why in the world would you take a guy who is the best at what he does in the game's history and structure a contract for him to play wide receiver based on the bonuses? Did you have a voice in that?
Yeah, we ended up, you know, we paid him a lot of money, obviously, because we thought we could make him. And that's a mistake that we made. We thought we could turn him into a number one receiver. And really, he's a savant kick returner, punt returner. That's what he is. But it took us, we had to figure that out. I mean, we took a shot, you know, we paid him because other teams would have paid him, but, you know, I don't know if they would pay him that much. That's, you know, we'll never know that. But we paid him to be a number one because we thought we could make him a number one. That was in 08 and 09. And then when we pulled off that, he still did some returns for us, but we didn't get the touchdowns. You know, he wasn't focused totally on that. And then when we took him off that, the touchdowns came back in 2010, 2011, and then obviously, you know, at 13, you know, after I was already gone. So, but, yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens there.
So you agreed with the decision. You supported it. Just get him.
I did. I supported him because I wanted to keep him. You know, I wanted. You know, we didn't pull him off of returns. I still was using him as a returner, but the focus was not there. You know.
Yeah.
And that makes it. He had some big returns. I mean, he was a great returner. Still, he just didn't get the touchdown. You know,
Daniel Manning isn't going to get you killed either.
There was a time when the guys still joked, you know, all the special teams go, they said, you had five returners that were starters. You know, and I agree. You know, we had, you know, all, you know, Daniel Manning was unbelievable kick returner. You know, he had a bunch of big returns for us.
I want to ask you, Dave, and appreciate your time as I let you run here, about the current situation in Chicago. Every day that goes by and Justin Fields is not moved, people are saying, well, his value must be dropping, and is he a number two somewhere? And I don't know the answer to that, but I know this. Man, if I were in charge, I'd try to find a way to keep him on the roster and get the ball in his hands a dozen times a game. I know that's gluttonous, but as electric as he is, and what I want to ask you is this, what could you do with a guy on the special teams with his skills?
Well, for me, the only really place you could put him would be on punt team, you know, as a PP where you could possibly get a direct snap and possibly throw it or take off and run, you know, that really would be the only thing as far as, you know, for a quarterback. I mean, that's the only really thing that I could think of there. As a returner, I mean, obviously there's a learning curve to be a returner, you know, and it takes a lot of courage. It's a different deal, you know, totally. I've seen a lot of great athletes that can't be a returner because they don't have the, you know, the mental part of it. That's one thing that Devin was so strong at. But as far as a quarterback, I really don't have a huge opinion on it because I don't watch the Bears that much, you know, be honest with you. So, but, you know, as far as a quarterback, you know, I'd do more something like what I guess the New Orleans Saints did it with Tebow, or not Tebow,
Taysom Hill.
Yeah,
you thinking of Taysom? Yeah, see, it's funny you say Taysom Hill because I said a few years ago he could be a Taysom Hill type, and that's not an insult. Not everybody can be a great quarterback in the NFL. What we're saying is we'd love you to have the ball. Yeah, you're going to throw it a few times. But we got Caleb Williams coming in here, you know, and he's going to be a franchise guy. I think it could work. I think it could
be a hell of a backup. He'd be a hell of a backup. But I'm sure there's a lot of teams feel like Justin Fields is probably better than the guy that they got. So I think everything it's so early right now, Dan. I mean, it's early. It'll work itself out, I'm sure.
What are you doing with your championship money to celebrate? By now, you've got so much of it. I mean, is the car collection complete?
I'm done with the cars. I do a lot of investing. I like stocks. I like doing stocks. I'm having fun with that. I'm still looking for a place to retire. I haven't, you know, I got my stash built. I haven't bought a place yet. I like Florida. I like fishing. So, actually, we're going down next week to look at a place down in Marco. So, Marco Island in Florida.
What's your favorite species to fish?
Well, down there, it's amberjacks. You know, they're just fun to catch and bring in. And yellowtail, those are great eating. You know, mm-hmm. If you get a grouper, those are always good. You got to wait for the season, though. But those are good down there. I like to go sail fishing. I like to go marlin fishing out in Costa Rica. You know, I'm going to own a boat someday, Dan. You know, I just I don't know when that's going to happen. I just signed a 3-year deal, so I got 3 more years here for sure.
There's nothing that can that keeps you from signing a 3-year deal and getting on your boat.
No,
you just got to pick your spots.
Yeah, I just got to get that right spot. And, you know, and you have, when you have a boat, they say the best thing is when the day you buy it and the day you sell it. So we'll see.
Dave Tobe, the outstanding special teams coordinator for Andy Reid's 3-time champion Kansas City Chiefs, my guest today. Thanks for the time, Dave. I appreciate it enormously.
Thank you, man. Thanks. Appreciate
Sam
it.
Sam Michael is my executive producer. Adam Delavitt runs the show at Bet Rivers. Randy Merkin, Alex Pastor, and Troy Mocker. Thank you for a job well done. Have a great weekend, everybody. I'm Mac. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Danny Mac Podcast on the Bet Rivers Network.